Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the New Testament book of Jude. You may send your questions by email through our website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. Or you may mail your questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Blountville, Tennessee, 37617. And now, here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We are in the General Epistle of Jude, and today we begin at verse 4. We are looking at the section of Jude that talks about the reason that he wrote this letter. And we know in verse 3, he told us that he wanted to write about the salvation that was available and is available to everyone. However, he found that it was more important and necessary for him to write and to exhort us to earnestly contend for the faith. Not just any faith, but the faith that was historic, the faith that was once and for all delivered unto the saints. Now remember, this was written sometime around AD 66 to AD 70, meaning that it was within 30 or 40 years of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And remember, too, that Jude was the half-brother of Jesus Christ. Now, understanding that, you see that he knew what the historicity of the faith was. What was the historical faith that was delivered? What was the truth of the faith that was delivered? He knew that because he was there for it. And he said in verse 4, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, this is the reason why he wrote the letter that he wrote. There certain men crept in unawares. Now, when the term certain men is used, there are specific men, in this case men, specific men who are being referenced. For some who received this letter, perhaps they knew these people. Now, he didn't give the name. I don't know that the name would be that important, although Paul the Apostle, in some of his writings, actually gives the name of someone that's causing trouble or someone that's doing disservice to the name of Jesus Christ. But Jude did not do that. Jude wrote that there were men, certain men, specific men, who had crept in unawares, that came in to the assembly of believers without folks noticing that they were non-believers, that they were non-conforming when it came to the faith that was once and for all delivered unto the saints. This is the problem that we find in the church oftentimes today, in the local church, in the one that you go to. And I'm not suggesting that you become the investigator, the Holy Spirit investigator for your congregation. I'm not suggesting that at all. But this is what happens oftentimes in the local congregation. Many times there will be folks that come into that congregation, some that perhaps have been there their entire lives. Maybe they've been there several generations, the family has. But they're there in your church, in your assembly of believers. And they don't believe the truth, and they don't act upon the truth. They may say they believe the truth, but you know better because you can inspect their fruit, and their fruit is rotten. Oh, I see that. I've seen that. I've heard of it. I've been involved in it. I know about it. Having pastored churches that have had fallible people in them, oh, that's everyone, I have found many of these creeps in the church. And if I had it to do over again, and we don't, you know, hindsight is 20/20, I would have taken a stand more quickly than I ever did, because I would have been looking for them. And I would have taken a stand against such people, those that are not following the truth of Scripture, that are not following the truth of the faith that was once and for all delivered unto the saints. But every church has them. I'm sorry to tell you. Every church has them because every church has people in it. And if you think that you're going to find a perfect church, you're absolutely wrong, because the minute you get there, you will make it imperfect. But I believe it's already imperfect before you get there, so don't lay all the guilt on yourself, okay? There are certain men crept in unawares, and this is J. Vernon McGee's idea of creeps, and that's why I use that. And these are creepy people. These are people that give you the creeps, if you will. They crept in unawares. And what a wonderful way to describe these folks. When you think about how that these people would creep in, it's sort of like they're crawling in unnoticed. You know, they're sort of under the pews or under the chairs, and they're not being watched. Of course, that's not true. They come in usually with pomp and circumstance and talk about how great they are and what all good things they've done. And oh, I could tell you stories, but I better not. I might get myself into big trouble giving you some personal stories. But I can tell you that this is absolutely the way it works. And this is how churches, local churches and denominations and coalitions of churches and conferences of churches, this is how they're destroyed. We've seen it time and time again. If a church lasts more than two generations, it's surprising, because these people creep in and they're not noticed because they're all part of the woodwork. They're not noticed. And then they assert themselves and they plant the seed of doubt and they give forth a message that is unsure, a sound that is unsure. If they sound a trumpet, it has an unsure sound. You don't know what it means. Does it mean to retreat or to advance? And they do not give glory to God. They give glory to themselves. Look at what I did. Look at what I've done. Look at what I'm doing. And they take away from the truth of the faith that is historical, that was once and for all delivered unto the saints. Now, Jude goes on to describe these creepers as being before of old ordained to this condemnation. These are folks who are of the devil's brood. These are the ones that come in as an angel of light, if you will, or a servant of the master, and in reality they're a servant of the sinister forces of the evil one himself. And they have before or of old been ordained to this, and we'll see some examples of that in this epistle as Jude gets into it. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Now let's think about the grace of God. That's God's riches at Christ's expense. That is the unmerited favor of God toward his creation. This grace is unmerited. That means we don't deserve it. It means we've done nothing to receive it. It means that God lavishes upon us as a gift to us. It is his wonderful benevolence that is given to us. And they turn this beneficence of God, this grace of our God, into lasciviousness. Think about that word for a moment. It's not one that we use very often because in our society, there is so much lasciviousness, so much of this unbridled sensuality that's in our society as a normal course of events that we don't call lasciviousness what it is anymore. We call it fashion, or we call it society, or we call it keeping up with someone. Well, that's a euphemism. It's lasciviousness. And what is lasciviousness? It's unbridled sensuality. It's lewdness. It's lawlessness. All of this is lasciviousness. When you see someone who has an attitude of I'm going to get you before you get me first, when you see someone that dresses in such a way as to be provocative, and yet they're upset if someone should notice them, that is lasciviousness, my friend. When you see the trailers for the movies or the advertising for the movies, if you watch television at all, if you're on the internet at all, when you see these kinds of advertisements or advertisements, as we call it, for such programs on television or in the movies that focus upon the sensuality and the sexuality of humanity. This is that lasciviousness of our society. Now think about that and put it in the context that Jude has put it right here. Put it in the context of this verse. For there certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, okay, so we've skipped over that. I'll get back to that one. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Now, how horrible is that? That's beyond belief. That is taking the very wonderful gift of God that brings us to salvation, and it's exploiting it by turning it into something that is sinful and evil. And that's what these creeps do in the local church. That's why you have pastors in the pulpit who are adulterers. That's why you have pastors in the pulpit who are unworthy of the title of Christian, much less unworthy of the title of pastor. That's why you have these sinful people who have never been placed under the blood of Jesus Christ, who have never had their sins forgiven, standing and proclaiming that they themselves are oracles of God. And they're not. That's why you have deacons and elders and stewards and leaders, depending on what topic title you use, within the local assembly of believers who are unworthy and unfit by Scripture's definition. They're unworthy and unfit to serve in the local church. If they come to the local church, they need to be coming as a contrite and humble penitent sinner, not as someone who's trying to lead the flock. Am I being too harsh? I don't think so. This is what Jude is teaching us. These people take the most sacred of God's gifts to us, His grace. It cost Him His Son on Calvary. Jesus Christ gave Himself on the cross at Calvary that we might be redeemed. This grace that God gave us so freely, they turn into something that is disrespectful. They turn it into a lasciviousness that is sinful and heinous and criminal when it comes to the things of God. Am I overstating the case? I don't think so. Perhaps I'm understating it. The truth is, God gave Jude this message for you and for me to understand that the local assembly of believers must be rid of these apostates. If the local assembly of believers is not cleansed of these apostates, then the local assembly of believers is no longer a church. It's a gathering of individuals. But it's not a church. A church has to be under the supervision of Almighty God, not under the supervision of the demons of hell. And that's what happens, unfortunately, in many local churches, according to what Jude is teaching us here. These creeps have come in, and they turn the very grace of God, the most valuable gift we're ever given, into lasciviousness, into unbridled sensuality, into lewdness, into lawlessness. And then they go beyond that, and they deny the only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. They deny him. They say he wasn't really the Son of God. He wasn't virgin born. We can become good enough to make it to heaven on our own. All I have to do is say the magic words and I can make it into heaven on my own. No, you can't. And there are no magic words, by the way. I have read apostate teachers. I have read blasphemous writers. I have read people who have written under what they called the authority of God, who wrote such rubbish when it came to who Christ is, that you practically want to go burn the book. And they've misled thousands and hundreds of thousands and perhaps millions. These people who believe that there's a spark of divinity within us and all we have to do is fan the spark, whatever that means. No, let me tell you what, my friend. These are those ungodly men. Let's get back to that phrase. These are the ungodly men. Ungodly men. That means God has nothing to do with them. And they can be ungodly women, too. It's ungodly humankind here. These are the ones that come into the church and teach you falsehoods. These are the ones that come into the church and have nothing to do with God themselves. They're living as if they are exempt from God's rules, God's law, God's desire for us. They're exempt from it. They have no sin because they acknowledge no sin in their own life. They can do no wrong because they've never done any wrong, or so they think. These are those ungodly men and women who turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. I've almost gone to preaching, haven't I? Well, forgive me for that, but I get agitated here very quickly because this is taking the very heart of God and crushing it, if that were indeed possible. These creepy characters that come into the church do not deserve the opportunity of speaking, singing, praying, or leading a congregation. And I don't care at whatever level, as a laity level or as a clergy level, they have no right to do that because they are not coming under God. They are ungodly. That phrase alone disqualifies them. If we are ungodly, if we are doing ungodly things, if we're leading in an ungodly way, if we're living an ungodly life, If we do not have God in charge of what we're doing, we have no business trying to lead others in the local assembly or any place else. And this is what Jude is warning us about and exhorting us, just as I've been exhorting you, exhorting us to earnestly contend for the faith which was once and for all delivered unto the saints. And that's the message for us today. Let us earnestly contend for the truth.
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is The Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. That's The Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve Him.